In the more than three-year-old war on Syria amidst the killing and bloodshed, there's a sense of optimism. Besides the army advances, and they have been major ones, officials have declared that a presidential vote will be held, the predicted winner by some accounts to be Bashar al-Assad. If so, an embarrassing defeat for his international foes and Syrian opposition and their backers like Saudi Arabia, not to mention the U.S. Well, in this edition of the debate, we'll discuss Syria at length, like the first notable U.S.-made anti-tank weaponry spotted in the hands of these insurgents. And in addition, why is there silence on the part of the UN Arab League envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi, on any future peace talks?
These people have gathered in the Syrian capital, Damascus, to reaffirm support for President Bashar al-Assad and the army. The rally comes as the Syrian army has in recent months achieved major gains in its fight against foreign-backed insurgents. On Monday, government troops said they're in full control of the ancient Christian town of Malula. This followed the army's recapturing of several towns in the strategic Kalamoun region on the outskirts of Damascus. Troops have also managed to retake key towns along the Lebanese border, which the militants had used for sending forces and weapons into Syria. President Assad has said,
"This is a turning point in the crisis, both militarily in terms of the army's achievements in the war against terror and socially in terms of national reconciliation processes and growing awareness of the truth behind the attacks targeting the country."
The army gains come as the militants continue to receive arms and funds from their Western and regional Arab supporters, namely Qatar and Saudi Arabia. A newly released video shows they've now received US-made anti-tank missiles as well as training on how to use them. The U.S., as well as its Western and Arab allies, are accused of intensifying support for the insurgents to prepare ground for regime change in Syria, an issue which they have been insisting on since the beginning of the ongoing crisis in the Arab country more than 3 years ago. Now, with the latest achievements by the Syrian government, the tide of the war seems to have shifted. Syria is also preparing to hold the presidential election this year, with the media report saying that the date will be announced next week. The upcoming vote will have multiple candidates, and this is part of reforms carried out by the government to help calm the situation in Syria.
If the Syrian government, under President Bashar Assad, is able to hold elections, then there's no question that this is a major defeat for the British-Saudi-U.S. nexus that's been involved in trying to carry out regime change for over 3 years. And this would be a major blow to their operation.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. Journalist and Middle East analyst Hafsa Akarat Mustafa joins us from London. And we have senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Richard Weitz, who joins us from Washington. I'd like to welcome both of our guests. Richard Weitz, let's first start with the lead up to what will be Syria's first democratic elections, and that's the campaign trail at this point. It's already unofficially rolling, a measure of what many say is Mr. Assad's growing confidence that he is wrapping up the war. And many are deducting that Assad is expected to win the elections. If the elections go through and Assad wins, won't that be a major defeat for the opposition and its supporters?
I concur with everything you said. It looks like the Assad for a government has now turned the tide and is basically achieved military superior position. If he holds elections and they're considered free and fair by the international community, and he were to be reelected, that would strengthen his position and further isolate and hurt the opposition. So I can't contest what you said.
Same question to you, Hafsa Akarat Mustafa. Obviously, we're looking at the army advances and along with, of course, these elections coming up. Do you see that as being what Richard Weitz concurred, that is Assad's victory in this three-year war that has been waged on his country?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Assad's victory has been really on the cards for at least a year now. For the past 3 years, we've heard the Western government say that Assad had only a month to go, 2 months by the end of the year. And 3 years on, he's still there. He's still leader of Syria. And he's is even more popular than he ever was. So I think the upcoming elections really only likely to confirm and comfort his position, and obviously confirm the absolute defeat of the Western nations and all those the Arab allies that have been after Syria and have been looking to get regime change in Syria in the same way that they'd had in Iraq prior and also in Libya not so long ago.
Well, Richard Weitz, this kind of coincides with the fact that we're looking at what has surfaced in the videos. The U.S. has not confirmed it, but this regards the anti-tank weaponry that has been seen by some of the insurgents. What is the game plan by the U.S., Richard Weitz? I mean, do they still think that there's a military solution to this conflict?
As far as I understand it, I'm not aware what weapons, if any, the U.S. has provided. But certainly insurgents are getting weapons from somewhere, and most likely from sources in the Gulf, and as purchases through the black market. And some are seized, of course, from the Syrian military. That aside, the U.S. has really preferred to have a diplomatic solution that would end the fighting and the killing, replace the Assad government with a more inclusive, comprehensive government, and prevent a horizontal and vertical escalation of the fighting. So horizontally, you don't want it to spill over into Turkey or Jordan or Israel. And vertically, you want to prevent use of ballistic missiles, chemical weapons, and so on. The U.S. has been successful in limiting the vertical spread insofar as it's played a role, not so much vertical, although the Chemical Weapons Demilitarization Agreement is putting, I think, an end to that concern. But overall, the U.S., there's a big problem in that the U.S. has these goals, but it really doesn't have strong means on the ground. I don't think it's a major player. I think really there are more important players involved in the Syrian civil war.
Why don't you tell us about some of those players, Hafsa Kara Mustafa, as our guest said, major players.
Well, I think it's slightly ironic to sort of downplay the role of the U.S. Obviously, now that the U.S. has had some serious egg on its face, so the aim today is to say, well, they really didn't play that much of a role, even though we can clearly see that they have funded some of the jihadis, that have provided arms, and that at every step of the process throughout these three past years, they've opposed any peace process, most notably when Obama actually even refused to attend peace talks with his Russian counterpart, simply believing that actually peace talks wouldn't lead anywhere because obviously peace is not on the US's agenda. So I think it's quite funny, almost amusing, to see somebody say, well, actually the US didn't really have a role. It's played a major role in the catastrophe that is the Syrian conflict today, and it continues to do so. As far as sort of where the arms are coming, yes, I would agree that they're coming pretty much from everywhere, essentially from Saudi funds, from Gulf funds, from Turkey as well, and from the black market. I mean, today the situation in Syria is an absolute catastrophe, and everyone and every sort of bizarre, the weirdest organizations are sort of dipping their finger in the Syrian chess game and bringing their element of violence, sadly. But I mean, so the players are really coming from across the board. And just today, actually, there's been a report that is published and saying that actually a great majority of the jihadi fighters are essentially coming from Europe, from Western Europe, with the greatest number, I suspect, coming from the UK and from France.
Well, I'm going to ask that question a little later, but Richard Weitz, your reaction to Hafsa Kara Mustafa, who said that it's quite ironic that you're saying that the U.S. is not playing a major role in this war.
I think that's accurate. I think that if you look at how the war evolved, who's been taking the lead in the regional response, I mean, the Obama administration has tried to stay away from the conflict, really lead from behind. It's let the Turkey and the Gulf countries take the lead role in supporting the insurgents. And in terms of diplomacy, it's been trying to let the UN and other mechanisms do that. The one main concern that was driving the US for a while, of course, was the chemical weapons threat and use, primarily because that has global implications. But in general, I think we realized from the beginning that it's not a vital national interest for the United States that the Assad government leaves power. I mean, the United States and other countries have dealt with the Assad regime for decades. We could do so for more. There are more important issues in the global arena from the strictly point of U.S. interest. Now, there are humanitarian questions, there are regional security concerns, and so on. That have been pulling at U.S. policy throughout the conflict. But in general, it's not been